Jack, Catherine and Ken ran down the road, occasionally passing people who did not even look. Typical, chased by a weirdo, and no one bothers, thought Jack bitterly. Then he remembered no one else saw the tramp. Perhaps he'd cast a spell and nobody saw them either. By now, Ken was wheezing and could go no further. Spotting an alley behind some shops where they could hide behind scopes piled high with rubbish and cardboard boxes, Jack made a split-second decision. If they hid, the tramp might go past. With Ken like this, there was no other option. He pushed the breathless Ken forward. "What are you doing?" "We can't run forever, Catherine. Hide there. There might be a way out." Ken snatched a puff on his inhaler as if proving Jack right. Squeezing down behind a skip, they peered out. "Here he is," Jack whispered. "What's he doing?" Catherine hissed. "Looking around. I think he's going. No, wait, he's coming. Was there another way out?" "No, I checked." "He knows we're here." Ken snatched another hasty puff. He was red in the face and breathing hard. "His mind's weird." "It's all right, Ken, let me think." A moment later, Jack turned to Catherine. "Run, while I keep him busy." "No, Jack," she muttered, horror-struck. "Jack," echoed the tramp as if he heard her. "Master Jack, Cracker Jack. Jack, be nimble. Jack, be quick. Jack, jump over the candlestick." "Is he mental?" "No, he's furry," Jack reminded Catherine. Ken nodded in agreement. "Here I am," Jack bravely said, stepping out from behind the skip. "No," Catherine wailed. At the sight of Jack, the tramp started crying. "Master Jack, Tom's a lost. Master Jack, Tom's a cold. Master Jack, don't be cross. Master Jack, take Tom home. For I did dilly and did dally and did dilly, lost my way and don't know where to roam. And you can't trust a story like old Jackanory when you can't find your way home." Jack stared stupidly at the tramp. "It's all right, he won't hurt you," Ken shouted. "You've changed your tune," Jack shouted back. "I was wrong. He's not trying to scare us, he's scared. The noise, the people, he's not used to it. It's driving him mad." Coming from behind the skip, Ken walked to the tramp with hands held in front of him as if feeling the air around the man. "He's living rough. I don't think he's had a good night's sleep for ages, or a proper meal. Been eating out of bins. Oh dear, he could do with a bath." "I know, he pongs," Jack agreed. Putting his head to one side, the tramp smiled. "There's something else, Jack. He might look older than us, but inside he's about our age." The tramp smiled again, saying proudly, "For a year and a day I grew away, and I grew straight, and I grew tall, and I was the fairest of them all, and she did love me do. But now I'm lost, sad, but true." "Hello," said Catherine, from behind Ken. "Good day to you, mistress mine. Thomas am I, Thomas of Rhyme." The tramp gallantly bowed. "Thomas, that's what she called Dan. She was looking for you, wasn't she?" Jack said. "Aye, that she were," Thomas wailed. "Though she loved me most, and kissed my cheek and stroked my hair. And you, Sir Thomas, does she boast, and on him lavish all her care. And I am gone, like those before, beloved once, beloved no more." "Why?" asked Catherine. "Though I both complain and moan, 'tis no one's fault but my own. She warned me true when she did say not to dally on the way. Off went the court and my good queen too. Tom followed on, but what did Tom do?" he shrieked, slapping his own face and shaking his head wretchedly. "Tom did dilly and did dally and did dilly. Lost his way and don't know where to roam. Now Tom's afraid and all alone and can't find his own way home." Without burst over, Thomas blew his nose noisily on his sleeve and smiled a brave little smile. Telling the strange man to stay put, Jack called a conference. "What are we going to do? We can't leave him here. It's obvious he can't take care of himself," Catherine told him. "Well, I can't take him home," Jack said. "What will my parents say?"